Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. We are not doing a Thanksgiving message tonight. It did that Sunday night. We're going to continue our... That one hurt bad enough, right, Brother Scott?
Hey, I got this one over here. You should say thank you.
All right, Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to continue our study tonight on the topic of hatred in Proverbs. Biblical hatred, all right? Trust me. Last week we started. It's just as convicting, so don't laugh too hard. Proverbs chapter 6. We'll read verses 16 through verse number 19 together. The Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." That's okay. You just read quietly. It's not your fault. I didn't say that real well. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, like most things, there is a positive and a negative to most everything in life. Proverbs almost always shows you the positive and the negative. You often hear somebody say, well, a Christian should never hate. That's unbiblical. It's unscriptural. God hates. If God hates, there are some things we should hate. It's not sinful if God does it. Now, there are some things that we do that God does, but we do it in a sinful way. Because we're sinners, we have a way of perverting things. The word hate isn't just a dislike for something. It's a very strong word. It's not just a distaste. I can say I hate cooked peas or I hate squash. It's not that I necessarily am an enemy of those things. It's just something that is distasteful to me. The word hate is a lot stronger word. It's an extreme word, and it's used 22 times in the book of Proverbs. Now, all hatred is not bad. Let me say that again. All hatred is not bad, but we sinners often misuse hatred. And in the misuse of it, it becomes bad. For instance, there is nothing wrong with the physical relationship between a husband and a wife. Outside of it being the husband and the wife, it's misused and it becomes wrong. Everybody understand that? Nothing's wrong with grape juice, but put it in a barrel and let it turn fizzy and start drinking it as wine, it becomes wrong. Right, Miss Ellen? But there are some things that we misuse it or use it at the wrong time, and it becomes wrong. Does that make sense to everybody? Hatred is one of those things. I'm not going to review what we went over last week, but tonight I'm going to start with the six things that God hates, actually the seven things that God hates. The word, the verse number 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination." The word abomination means it's worse than just hatred. It is an extreme of the extreme. It is, it's like comparing a fire in your home to hell. An abomination is that much stronger than hate itself, all right? And that's the best way I know how to say it to you. Now, I want to take these seven things and just run through them very quickly. God says, first of all, one thing that God hates is a proud look. The word, the term proud look means self-exalted, arrogant, or pious. Now, don't get mad at the preacher. But my whole life is people. I watch people. I look at people. I watch people's reaction. When you watch somebody, I think there's been, I don't know how many popes, they call themselves Pope Pius. That's a proud look. Watch somebody that's real proud, real arrogant. They have a look about them. A lot of professional athletes, when they're interviewed. LeBron James has a proud look. I wish somebody would wipe it off his ugly face. Yeah, it's coming. When somebody has a proud look, you're talking to them, you say something to them, or you give them a direction, and they do this to you. It's called rolling your eyes. Girls do it really well. Okay? My daughter tried it once and found out, I told her, you do that again, I'm going to slap your head off, and you'll never be able to roll those eyes again. You say, you didn't say that. Ask her. I can put up with a lot. When I get somebody rolling their eyes at me, it grates at me. You might see me preaching someday, and I'll see somebody that's giving me a proud look, and I'll come unscrewed. I've done it a time or two. We were in the other building, and I had somebody mocking me while I was preaching, and I was doing okay till they gave me the proud look, and then I came unscrewed. And I, in no uncertain terms, told them to knock it off or get out. You say, why would you do that? Because God hates a proud look. They were getting a crew of people around them to go against what was going on, and I wasn't going to allow it. we would call it sticking your nose in the air. I'm better than you, so you can't sit here because you don't belong in our crowd. It's called clique mentality. In other words, if you walked out in the rainstorm, you would drown because your nose is stuck so far in the air. I've got no use for that kind of stuff, just so you know. There's one reason I believe in breaking up cliques, because God hates a proud look. And did you ever see those little, I call them high school groups. You know, we got this group and we got that group. There's churches that are cliquey like that. Forget that trash. it means a disdain for anyone that's not in your group. Can I tell you something? We ought to accept everybody. Amen. The snotty-nosed little bus kid, let's love on him just like the rich person that walks in.
Yes, sir.
The teenager that comes in on a bus or comes in with their family that's not been in church much and doesn't know how to behave, and will get up in the middle of service and do something, or they don't know quite how to behave, instead of getting all upset at them, how about we sit down and teach them without getting so unwound about it or wound up? You say, well, they ought to know better. In your generation, they did. This generation, they don't.
You're right.
My daughter was telling me today that she's dealing with some bus kids, and it's amazing they don't even know what the Mayflower is.
Wow.
They weren't taught in school. We're talking like third, fourth graders. They don't, or how old? Second grade. They don't even know about the pilgrims. They don't know what pilgrims are. To teach the Thanksgiving story, we have to teach them the entire history because our schools aren't teaching it. And you want to get mad at somebody that doesn't know how to behave in church? Be careful. before you get all wound up, realize what you learned 60, 70 years ago is not being taught today. Well, it should be. Okay, it should be, but it's not. And you're not going to change the whole generation just because you knew it. The only way they're going to learn it is by time. So a proud look. Can I tell you something? Make sure you don't have a proud look. I can handle somebody who disagrees with me as long as they don't bow their neck and give me a proud look. Then we're going to have some words in private. I hate correcting anybody in public, and I try not to, but if they're going to make a public spectacle, look out. I got the microphone, and I will use it. President Trump's really good at it. Have you noticed? He's really good about it. He puts up with an awful lot, but when they start giving the proud look, it's over. And it's not a matter of our pride. It's a matter of disrespect to the person who has a position of authority. I got to hurry up here. The second thing God says, a proud look, a lying tongue. Now, that is a mouth of untruth. I love this word. To me, this is one of my favorite words in the Bible. It literally is the word babbler. Okay? Someone who talks a lot about nothing and usually about something that's not truth. Okay? The word lying tongue doesn't mean you lied to somebody once or twice or three or four times. Just because somebody, by the way, the Bible says we all came forth from the womb lying. Did you know you don't have to teach anybody how to lie?
That's right.
You got to teach them how to tell the truth. Before you get all wound, you go, well, I can put up with anything, but somebody lies to me. Well, you're just lying to yourself because you lie to yourself all the time. You see, we get so wound up. Now, someone who lives in constant lying. I'm gonna generalize somebody, not a person, but a group of people, and you'll understand what I mean. Like a new car salesman. Right. Like a politician. Okay. Well, and by the way, not all politicians lie like that. But we hear that term and we associate it with lying. How do you know when Hillary's lying? Her lips move. One of those kind of things. I'm sure she's told the truth somewhere, sometime. But she changed it real quick to figure out that she shouldn't have said it. A lying tongue means it's a mouth of untruth. It constantly speaks lies. Everybody listen to me for a second. If somebody lies to you, that's not the unpardonable sin. Why don't you forgive them and keep going? Amen. Your children have lied to you almost every day of their life when they were in your home. You didn't disown them. Now, there were times you wanted to. Your parents lied to you. They told you there was a Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is real?
Yeah. They told you, that Santa Claus followed reindeer. Not true. I shot him this week and he ain't flying no more. My dad used to say, that fat boy ain't parking his reindeer on my roof. I'll go out there and shoot him. He say, he didn't do that, did he? Ask him. Trust me. Yeah. Pull the gun, pull the bow. Do whatever you got to do. Get him off the roof, amen? Now, wait a minute. A lying tongue. We have lied to everybody. It's not the worst sin in the world. It's not an unpardonable sin. It may be one you detest, but usually the people that hate it most are the ones who lie to themselves most. Not always, but most always. Everybody doing okay? Number next, hands that shed innocent blood. People who kill the body, the soul, or the spirit that are not at war. Let me say this. It is not wrong for you to take the life of someone in self-defense or war. By the way, self-defense is war. Just so you know. If somebody breaks into my home, they're going to go out in a bag. And maybe multiple bags. Depending on which weapon is closest to me at the time. You say, why? I have an obligation to protect my home and my family, and I will do it. If you've been at war and you've had to pull the trigger and kill another human being, you've done it as an act of war in reference to your country. You are not held by the bounds of murder according to the scripture. Just so you know. And by the way, I've counseled many soldiers. I have never had to pull the trigger on another human being. Hope to God I never have to. But I have dealt with a lot of men that have, and ladies. I've dealt with police officers that have had to do it. It's not an easy thing to do. I enjoy hunting, but I would not enjoy hunting a human being, ever. Anybody that would enjoy that, something is not right, and we need to put you away somewhere. Hands that shed innocent blood. That means this. We should not attack people physically. Our first reflex ought not be, well, I disagree with you. Let's go fight. Can I tell you something? My daddy taught me a long time ago. if you get backed in the corner, have to fight, you better fight. But if I find out you started it, you're dead. Because I'm going to whoop you to death. That's just the way it was. If you're defending yourself, have at it. Past that, if you find out you started it, you in trouble more than you want. Too many people want to settle things physically. It's called road rage. It's called somebody said something you didn't like, so you're ready to go fight them over it. There's a lot worse things in life to fight over than words. We should not attack people emotionally. Can I tell you something? You may not be sensitive emotionally, but it doesn't give you the right to stomp on everybody else's emotions. Am I doing okay? I love you. I say some pretty hard things about what God says. Get up and preach a sermon on hell sometime and try not to get people's emotions all wound up. Emotion is not bad, but I'm not going to stomp on people's emotions. I realize their emotions are real to them. I've been talking to a guy recently. He lost his mother. He's an adult man. He's a good guy, but he's got some issues. I'm not sure his deck is totally full. He's not the most stable person mentally. He's trying to tell me that his mother's spirit's back in his house and lights are flashing on and this and that and this and that. And I said, that's satanic. It's not possible. Human spirits do not come back to the earth. And for 3 days, I've been going through. He said, well, what's causing this? I said, because you keep thinking about it. I said, it is impossible scripturally. I said, if you believe it, you're believing what Satan wants you to believe. That is wizardry. That is Satanism. And for 3 days, I've been battling this with this fella. He just can't get it through his head. He thinks Mama's come back. And I hate to disappoint him. Mama wouldn't come back even if she could, because she's happier in heaven than she was here. But we shouldn't, I'm not going to step on his emotions just because he's not thinking clear right now. I'll just keep hammering it. I got one more hammer than he has nails. We should not attack people spiritually. Be careful when you're out talking to people and they believe wrong doctrine and you want to get in a fight with them. Do you know fighting over doctrine does no good? I have never argued with somebody for 3 hours and saw them get saved. Not one time. I'm just telling you the truth. Anymore, somebody tells me they're of a what I call a false religion, I'll give them the gospel quickly and say, are you willing to accept that? Oh, no. I give them a gospel track and say, see you later, and I turn around and walk away. The Bible says don't even say God bless you because you're not to bid them Godspeed because they're going to continue in their bad doctrine. If I can't get them to accept that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that they need a Savior, and it's not by works, it's by grace, then guess what? They're not going to get saved. No matter how long I stand there, and somebody else is going to die and go to hell while I stand there and try to argue with them. Don't attack them spiritually. Next, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Okay, I love you. Here we go. People who make up or create wicked things for others. Hollywood. Hollywood is that which... a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. I'm talking about a lot of the video games that people play. Most of the video, I'm going to say many. I can't speak with authority on most, but I think I could lean closer to saying most. Many of the video games of today deal with Satanism, dark powers, evil. They have games out called Diablo. Diablo is Spanish for devil. Greek gods and false gods, killing, murder, stealing things, you name it. the whole purpose of it is to hurt, maim, kill, kick, bite, box, whatever, and get evil spirits to help you do this and get more power. Where does that power come from? The police forces of our country will tell you the most skilled shooters in America today are young people brought up on video games. They are the coldest, hardest killers in our country. They're so addicted and so adrenalized that for them to pick up a gun and shoot somebody, they feel nothing. They do it millions of times in their video games throughout their childhood years. It's just another reaction to them. The Lord allowed me to shoot a nice buck this week. I shot a 7-point buck this week. Big body deer. Do you know that about 5 seconds after I shot that thing and knew it was down, standing in my tree stand, I put my gun down, stood it up at my tree stand, and I got the shakes. Say why? The adrenaline push. I told my brother this week, I said, man, I actually got the shakes after that thing. I said, the day I don't get it is the day I quit hunting. And he said, why? I said, because then it's just killing. It's not hunting. I never want to get so cold-blooded that, oh, okay, here we go. Yeah, that would worry me. I hope there's just a little of that shake in there. A little of that, whew, okay, I just took something's life. There should be some respect there. And by the way, I did respect it. And I'm going to eat it and enjoy it. Amen? Hollywood, the Marvel comic stuff. I hate to tell you, that stuff is more Satanist, dark power stuff than you can even imagine. The pornography industry of today, wicked imaginations, gambling. Look at the casinos. Matter of fact, don't look there. The drug industry of today, and I'm talking about the illegal drug industry of today. It paints wicked imaginations in people's lives. God says he hates that. Can I tell you something? We ought to hate Hollywood and what it represents. Not the people necessarily, but what it represents. The wicked powers, the porn, the gambling, the drugs, etc. We are to hate those things because God hates those things. Number next, feet that be swift to running to evil. This is interesting. Evil and sin are not the same. The word sin means you cross a line. Sometimes you'll see the word transgress, means to go across. Lying is a transgression, but it's not necessarily evil. If I walked up and poked Scott in the nose, that would be sin. Okay? That's crossing a line that's not mine to cross. And then I would be lying down on my back with my own nose broke. Amen? Or other body parts injured. Now, wait a minute. Just because you cross a line doesn't mean you've become evil. Evil is a conspiracy of two or more to destroy somebody. If Greg and Evan and Wiley and I got together and we were going to try to ruin Donnie's reputation, and I said, hey, fellas, I know something about Donnie. I think we ought to tell everybody. We are purposely trying to hurt that man. That becomes evil. Right. When we work together to tear someone else down, we become evil. That's why gossip is evil. Gossip is you lying or sharing negative truth about somebody to hurt their reputation to get somebody else to share the same information so that you together work together to destroy somebody. So a feet that be swift to running to evil, people that gravitate toward that kind of stuff. It means people who follow the path of evil, people who run to hurt others, or people who run to distress others. that means gossip. Let me share something with you. It also means when somebody attacks you that you don't get people together to attack them. Sometimes you become as evil as the person who is evil against you by doing the very same thing that person did to you. If someone attacks me, you'll never know who they are because I'm not going to get you in on it. I don't want to participate and step down to where my enemy is at. Does that make sense to everybody? Somebody contacted me this week. They said, pray for me. I've got somebody who's attacking me. I said, oh, good. They said, what do you mean, oh, good? Somebody's trying to hurt me and trying to destroy me. I said, you get to practice Matthew chapter 5. Pray for those which despitefully use and persecute you for my name's sake. I said, you get to live Matthew chapter 5. I said, live it. About 10 hours later, I got a text back from that person and said, boy, you convicted me this morning. But things are starting to work out. They said, I did handle myself as well earlier in the day as I did till I talked to you, and then that convicted me. I said, no, that didn't. God did. I said, don't become guilty of being as bad as your accuser. Don't attack the attacker. I got to hurry up here. A false witness that speaketh lies. Someone who lies to save themselves. Someone who frames someone. Someone who lies on a leader or a follower to tear them down. For instance, the United States Press. They are a false witness that speaketh lies. Let me show you what I mean. I rarely listen to a news report, hardly anymore. At least a newscast. I read most of my news because I can pick and choose and get around the trash in it. As soon as I start a paragraph, I can skip a ways if it's going to tear somebody down. Isn't it amazing? They'll put somebody's face and name on the news, and they'll say, this person has been accused of child molestation at the school. And they'll go into this, how this person is so supposedly hit, but the press has already found them guilty and is telling everybody everything that was done, and no trial has yet taken place. You'd be surprised how many of those people have not done wrong. You'd be surprised how many of them never get convicted of what they were first accused. But their name is destroyed because somebody put a false witness up there. How about we wait till the trial's over and then put their name and face up there? No, we want to do it the moment somebody has been brought in for questioning. That's wrong. That's false witness. These people that were attacking Mr. Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court, those are false witnesses. And I'm not going to go any farther with that because I could spend all night on that one. Next, he that soweth discord among the brethren, number 7. This is someone who creates strife. Someone who likes to argue. Someone who likes to get people in disagreement. Someone who seeks counsel until they find somebody to tell them what they want to hear. My favorite illustration, somebody who likes to poke the bear, amen? You poke the bear long enough, he's going to poke back. Someone who sows discord among the brethren. You're going to sit at the table tomorrow with family and friends. Everybody's got that person that's at that table that you know they're going to bring up something they should not bring up. Or you're going to bring it up just to watch them react. Be careful. Don't sow discord among the brethren. My brother and I, we get along. He just flew up here, came church Sunday night. My brother and I don't talk about certain things because we know we disagree on them. So we've agreed not to talk about those things. You say, did you talk about him while he was here? Nope. Not once. We had a good time. He'll come back. In the absence of having discord, discord is disharmony. There's a term in music called dissonance. It's a chord that has a diminished frame or what they call a dissonant, and it sounds out of place. It'd be like you trying to play piano and have never played before. It would be a great dissonance. it wouldn't sound good. And that's exactly what discord is. It's dissonance. It is two things put together that don't match. No pun intended, and let's not talk about my clothes. All right? It's putting colors together that don't match. It's putting patterns together that don't match. I hate the new style of shirt and tie combos and suits that they have out now. You got guys that have checkered shirts and striped and checkered ties of different colors, and it's like, whew, where did that come from? You know, they got... For somebody that's colorblind, it really drives my eyeballs wonky when the patterns are out of whack. And when you got, polka dots and checks all together in the same pattern, ooh, something's not good here. Okay? My eyeballs go on overload. Like that, you know? There's just something about it that really, it's like my wife, she'll say, well, quit looking at it. I'm thinking, I can't. It's like, there it is. Yeah. What people call art these days, you know, somebody dumped $3 of paint on a piece of canvas and threw it on the wall and got paid $3 million for it. Good night. I got in trouble in kindergarten for looking that bad, you know. God says he hates these seven things. Well, he said he hates those things, not those people. We are to hate those seven things, not the people that do them. The key to hatred is hating what is wrong, not the wrongdoer. I hate what sin does to people. But I don't hate people. I hate the Sodomite culture, but I don't hate the Sodomites. Anybody understand that? I hate the drug culture, but I don't hate somebody that's been on drugs. Half of you wouldn't be here. I mean, I hate the drunken alcohol industry, but it doesn't mean I hate somebody that drank alcohol. You see, you're not supposed to hate the person. You're supposed to hate the wrong. I don't enjoy when people lie to me. But can I tell you something? I'll love the person that does. I'm obligated to love the sinner. I'm not obligated to love what they do. I don't like gossips. As far as I don't like what gossip does to people, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to love someone who does it. There's a person, Marcia mentioned this person to me this week. I know she'll know exactly who I'm talking about, and it's not somebody that comes to our church yet. And she said, did you know? I said, yes, I do. And I said, she said, well, I invited that person to our church, and they said, oh, there's a long history there. And I said, yes, there is. And I know what that history is. And I've been spending a couple of years trying to earn that person's respect to get them in church. By the way, I've got them promised to come as soon as we get our new building done. Will I keep them? Probably not at first, but I'll earn it. I've been to the hospital when their kids have been sick. I've been to the hospital when other family members have been down. My wife and I have received nice Christmas gifts from that person because of what we've done for their family to try to earn back some of that respect. I know what was wrong. But I'm not going to tell you. Say why? Won't matter. Won't matter a lick. God says hate the sin, not the sinner. You know, the Bible says these six things. The key word to all those verses is the word things, not people. We sinners often hate the person who does this. We ought to hate the lying, not the liar. We ought to hate the proud look, not the proud looker. It's probably not good grammatically, but it's good preaching, amen? We ought not hate the heart or the wicked. We ought to hate the wicked imaginations, but not the person that's doing it. If you listen to wicked music or watch wicked things or play wicked games, I'm not going to hate you, but I'm not going to change the truth. Because I know where those things lead every time. We've got to be careful with those things. So we are to hate the things, not the person. So there, Miss Elizabeth, could you push that door shut so I don't bother those folks out there? Thank you. They don't need to hear me, and I'm sure they don't want to. No pun intended, and I don't need you to comment either. Thank you. But God says we're to hate those things, not the people. Be careful in your hatred of things that you don't cross the line hating someone. You'll sit at the table tomorrow, possibly with somebody that, if you're not careful, you could hate them. Because you hate what they do. Just because somebody did something to offend you gives you no right to hate them. You then have a proud look and a proud heart. And you are in as much abomination to God as the person who wronged you. We are to hate the thing, not the person that did it. Aren't you glad God does that? Because if it wasn't for that, we'd all be going to hell. Every last one of us. Every last one of us. I got to quit. It's 2 minutes till. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How's your hate life? Are you hating the right things? Or do you hate people? Do you hate the people that do wrong things, or do you hate the wrong things themselves?